different things on why we do certain things in the church and why there's certain things that we do as a church of God, laying on hands, prayer cloths, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, washing the saints' feet. I never got to. We'll get to that one a little bit later on. But we do these things in accordance to the Scripture and accordance to the Word of God. But there's nothing any more important, I believe, than what I want to talk about today. As a pastor, some people think I only do one thing, and that's preach. My wife would tell you, just follow him around for a week and you'll see everything that he's involved in and everything that we do. But if you've never been a pastor, you don't know a pastor's heart. You don't know I don't want to use the word burden. It's not a right word or a good word necessarily. But I would use the word concern. You don't know the concern that a pastor has over a flock of people if you've never been there. I want to talk about some things this morning that I know we've got leaders in other areas of the building right now, and I want them to hear as much as they possibly can, because this message today is for the church. This message today, from my viewpoint, is like going to the mechanics shop, going to the Jiffy Lube, going to the wherever you go and get your oil changed. You do that for the maintenance of your vehicle. I know Sherry and I, not here not long ago, went over to this place over on Randolph Street, and I was basically somewhat amazed at what it costs to have an oil change and an inspection done these days on a car. So I said that to say this: sometimes maintenance is painful. Sometimes maintenance is costly. Sometimes maintenance you don't want to do, but you know you've got to do it. Or else your engine will blow up, and then that's more costly. Or your tires will fall apart, and the threads will start showing, and your tires will fall apart over here on 85 running, well, 65 miles an hour. None of us speed, so we want to make sure we don't do that. So you know this morning that things that we do here today, I believe, is very necessary. I've actually tried not to preach some of this. I tried to veer away from it, and I couldn't find anything more satisfying to my heart today than to be obedient unto what God was saying. So we're going to be talking today about walking with God in discipleship. Disciple, if you look at disciple in the Scripture and understanding disciple, the definition of it, the very basic understanding of what a disciple is, and you can see this in Strong's or any other place, it's going to use the word student. You're going to find there the word student, which also means a learner. Now, I'm not going to take the time to turn to this Scripture at this point, but Jesus says this. I'll get to it in a little bit later. But Jesus actually gives his disciples the opportunity to learn of him. So we want to talk about some of those things today as the Lord has put it upon my heart. And as I've always said, if you were preaching this message, you would be entitled to preach it your way and to do it your way. This is how I believe God has dealt with me about this particular subject today. So we're going to talk about walking with God in discipleship. And I want to take for reading today out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. We all know this text. It's a very simple text. I've probably preached over this text many, many times throughout the years. But it's where Jesus is actually calling his disciples. So we see this, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, there in verse number 18, and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. First of all, they were doing what they know they were to do. They were doing what they knew what to do. Now, this is not in the message. It's free. It's different. It's not going to be a part of the main part of the message. But disciples were found, and this is the thing I thought about, common, ordinary people. You know, years ago, and I don't discredit myself, and I'm not throwing stones at myself today. When I got married, I was working as a welder. Then I got laid off, and I went immediately to work at Coca-Cola. I worked there 2.5 years. I worked at Pepsi 7.5 years. I quit Pepsi cold turkey on a Friday. They knew it. I didn't tell my church until Sunday that I was going to go become a full-time pastor. Well, needless did I know, everybody didn't have the same feelings about that as me. And so I had to work through some things, Miss Sandra. And it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. But yet I went from working at Pepsi to going into ministry, what I thought would be an easy process. It was not. And then I found some odd jobs and done different things for a while. And then I ended up hooking up with a man in Haywood County that was a preacher as well. He was a good guy. He had dump trucks. So I drove a dump truck. Believe it or not, I drove a dump truck for 9 years prior to moving to Monroe. So I've got 20 years vocational ministry along with preaching ministry all tied up in together. So I do have a pretty decent work ethic. And I said that to say this, that a lot of times people are waiting on certain things to happen before they will ever become a follower of Jesus. So when Jesus found these fishermen, he found them at what they were accustomed to doing. And we see this in the text. We've seen them casting their net into the sea. They were accustomed to doing this because it was their vocation. Verse 2 says, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him, and going on from thence saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And they called them, and he called them, and immediately they left their ship and their father, and followed him." Would you stretch your hand this way and pray for me today? Father, I do thank you, God, for the anointing. I thank you, Father, for the bondage-breaking power of the Holy Ghost today. Father, I pray, God, you touch me physically, God. I pray, God, you touch me and give me the physical touch that I need today. And Father, through that physical touch, give me that supernatural touch, God, that comes only from you, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give me words to say. And Lord, let me say only those things, God, that you would have me to say today. Lord, because I know without you, I cannot do anything at all. But Lord, we honor you and we honor your word today. Give me clarity today. Give me clarity of mind and clarity of heart today, Father. And I know, God, today that it'll all work out for your glory and to your praise and to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, we can recognize and we realize today that this scripture is scripture that we've all read. We all know this. We've all read this scripture, and pastors preach this in a lot of different ways. And there's a lot of different ways you can preach this, but bottom line, Jesus called his disciples. When I look at Jesus calling his disciples, first of all, the thing that comes to my mind is simply this, that he was calling them to go home, sit on the couch, get them a bag of potato chips in front of the TV and do absolutely nothing the rest of their life. No. When we see that Jesus called them, he had a plan for their life. Not only did he have a plan for their life, but he had purpose for their life. And later he told them, if you will follow me, I will make the provision for your life. That's into tonight's message. But in this, we can understand that God has a plan for their life. So the first thing that I want you to write down this morning is simply this. As a disciple, when God calls us to be a disciple, God did not make a mistake. God knows your heart. God knows your frame. But Jeremiah even said God has a plan for your life. And I want to say this as I go into this message this evening, or this morning rather, that no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what your background is, if you will become a follower of Jesus Christ today, God will show you loudly that He has a plan for your life. I would go on record as to say that every person in this room, listen, that God has a plan for your life. And I would premise that by saying not only does God have a plan, but God has a purpose for your life. These guys, he called them out from being fishers to become fishers of men. So when we think about them becoming fishers of men, I would again remind us simply this, that Jesus over and over and over reiterated to them, those disciples, that He had a plan for their life. And He told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples out of all men. So as I began to process this message earlier in the week, one of the first things that I came to was simply this. A disciple is a student, he's a learner. But yet we can understand by we looking at this that a disciple was described many times throughout the scripture. So first of all, if we're going to be walking with God in discipleship, the thing that I thought about, again, first of all, was in Matthew 11 and 29. When you look in Matthew 11 and 29, this is what He says. And this is where Jesus was saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And He says to them, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me." We learn the nature of God. We learn the character of God. We learn who Jesus truly, really is. And we have a desire within our heart. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I believe today that God has this message for this time, for this season, for somebody here today. I don't know about you, but one of the first things that we've got to do as a disciple is that we've got to fall head over heels in love with Jesus Himself. I love the church. I love you. I care about you. But I believe that we need to go back. I believe that we need to go back to that first place. I believe we need to go to the place that He found us and revisit that place again. Because before we will ever serve Him, before we will ever commit our ways unto Him, before we will ever fulfill the very calling of becoming a disciple, we've got to know Him. And this is what Jesus is saying. Learn of Me. Know Me. And my mind goes back. And I don't have time to park the bus there today. But my mind goes back to that place when you first fall in love with Jesus. Amen. And I'm saying to us today, if Thomasville Church of God wants to go forward, we've got to go back and visit that place that we first fell in love with Jesus. Because if you don't love Him, you will never, ever, ever serve Him. You might serve the church. You might do things in the church half-heartedly. But if you do it because of the love of God that is in your heart to please Him, my friend, you will do it with everything within your being, if you will. So we see this. We see this where Jesus says, "Learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Let me tell you this, there is peace in His care. There is peace in His presence. In Him there's peace because He is the Prince of Peace. So what did I think about moving forward when I thought about this message? I thought about if we're going to be walking with God in discipleship, the first thing that I believe we can do as far as maintenance on the machine today, maintenance in our lives today, and some of these things are kind of going to be rebuking in some ways. I don't mean it to be ugly, and I don't mean it to be that way. I don't want to come across that way, but it's going to sound that way. And I don't want it to sound that way, even though it's going to be that way. So one of the first things that we've got to find out in being a disciple is that we have got to learn how to walk with God as a disciple in love. In love. Love is a very strange thing, because so many times we find out that love is conditional. Love is conditional in the regards of, well, I'll do for you if you do for me. Or I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch my back. And so we base our love to someone else on condition. We base our love towards somebody else based on what we feel like we can get out of that person. Listen close. I believe if you and I come together as the church and we look around this building and we look around and we see one another through the eyes of God, I believe that we again need to learn to walk with God in love. Watch this. And love one another unconditionally. Unconditional is God doing for us what He knew we needed and not what we thought we wanted. And so we think about God's unconditional love today. And we think about the scripture, for God so loved the world. We all know John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever... Can you think for a minute how God found you? Can you think of the condition that God found you in? Somebody said, well, I found God. No, I wasn't looking for God. God came looking for me, somebody. I was lost and I was dying and I was on my way to the booger man. Come on, somebody. But He found me. Now, let me move on forward. That's another message for another time. So Jesus identified His disciples, first of all and foremost, in the book of John, chapter number 13, and He says these words to them in verse number 31. And He says this in the Word. He says, therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. Look closely. He says in verse 32 forward, He says, if God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself and shall straightway glorify Him. Moving forward. Little children, yet a little while and I am with you. God says He's going to be glorified through the Son. God said He's going to glorify Jesus. I'm going to glorify the Son. Jesus is saying this in a nutshell in the other two verses. Even though Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus was the God-man, Brother Scott brought that out in the Sunday school. Jesus is a reflection of the heart of the Father. So when we sing Jesus, we sing the heart of the Father. Watch this. Should it not be today, if we are His disciples, if people see us, that we are, I'm not a little Jesus. I'm not new age in the fact that everything's God and I am evolving and I too will become God. That's what new age teaches. That's not us. But I am to reflect the heart of Jesus because of what Jesus has done in my heart. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. I know that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So God does a heart change in us. I used to hear the preacher say it like this, the things I used to hate, I love. The things I used to love, I hate. So God definitely changes our heart. Isn't it amazing how God can change our heart when we become a child of God, that the very people that at one time you detested, at one time the very people that you didn't want to be around and you didn't want anything to do with, that God places a love in your heart for them? It's amazing how God does that. When we look at this, He says this in our text again. Excuse me, in John 13, 33, I think I got to, if I'm not mistaken. So we see this in the Scripture. He says, little children, a little while, move forward, Kathy, to that next one. And He says in 34, new commandment I give unto you, walking with God in discipleship. My commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Hello? Let's fold our Bibles and go to the house. If we can get that, hey, I just put a brand new quart of oil in somebody's machine this morning. If we can get that, if we can love one another as I have loved you, He says, He says that you shall, that you also love one another. Wow. That's pretty good preaching, to be redundant and to be repetitive in Scripture that I've read many times over and over and over. But he says again that this is how, the next verse, verse 35, he says this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple. I'm a learner of Jesus. I'm a student of Jesus. I'm learning from Jesus. Learn of me. I'm learning to... So when we look at this, we see of how that love identifies us as a child of God. So we see this in love. Now, I know that there's the justice of God. There's a judgment of God. All of this, I understand every bit of that. But when we look at this scripture here, the first thing we see, Jesus identified to his disciples, you are my disciples if you love one another. Now again, I'm oiling the machine today. I want you to look around this room today. Look around. It's okay. Nobody's going to bite you. If there's anything we need to be identified as Jesus' disciples, as the children of God. Hello? As the children of God. We ought to be, and this is the only word that I can use this morning, and I know it's not a nice word or a good word necessarily to describe this. We ought to be oozing love. Love ought to just be coming out of us. And when I say that, I know that everybody in this room is different. I know that everybody's got their own thing, and I know everybody does their own, everybody's got their whole idea. I understand that, but I'm talking about the family of God, the children of God. I'm talking about the things of God. I'm talking about the Thomasville Church of God. I think about that, and I think about not only do we need to walk in love, but I thought about these disciples and Jesus rallying up these old fishermen. I know they stank. I know they felt like an old fish. If you've ever been on a fishing boat, or if you've ever been to the lake and you got a big 3 or 4 pound catfish flopped up in your lap, you're going to smell like a fish when you leave there. I'm sure they felt like an old nasty fish. But I said that to say this, Jesus still called them. Jesus still used them. Jesus had a plan for their life. So that brings me to the second thing this morning. So we got the first thing, if we're going to walk in with God in discipleship, becoming his disciple, we got to work on our love. Now, love is that phileo, okay? Phileo, there's a lot of different kinds of love throughout the scripture that's described. It's that phileo love. It's a brotherly love, a brother or a sister. That is why I address Sandra as Sister Neely, Sister Sandra or Sister Ivy. I've done that. But I look at her, I don't look at her through eros, erotic love, intimate love. I don't look at her in any way towards an inappropriate love, but I look at her through phileo. That's why we say, Sister Sandra. Well, I'm not your sister. Your mama's not mine, but you're a sister in the Lord. So we come together as a brother and a sister in the Lord. We do that out of respect. We do that out of honor. We do that as a part of being the family of God. We do that through an agape love, if you will. Agape is that God love, if you will, that unconditional love. And this is not in my notes one nowhere, but I thought about it a while ago, and it just came back to my mind again. I think one of the true ways that we can put ourselves to the test as it comes to love is how tolerable are we for people that are not like us? How tolerable are we for people that don't act like us? How tolerant are we of people that don't think like us? I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about people in general. I'm just talking about differences between vanilla ice cream and chocolate ice cream. It don't make a hill of beans for eternity, but we're just different. And so we can be different, but here's the second thing. The second thing I thought about when we talk about walking with God in discipleship is that when we talk about the church, the Bible mentions this in Amos, and I'll get to it in a minute. But we've got to be unified in vision. If you don't have vision, you got DI vision. And DI vision is division. And if you take the first part of that, die, it means that the vision will die if we don't have vision. And I know the monkey's on my back today. I know the pressure's on my back today. I understand that. Because the Bible said, can two walk together, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they agree? Proverbs 29:18, I believe it is, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Okay, so we're on the second part. The second part talks about vision. Walking together in discipleship as it talks about vision. And this is what I believe that God spoke to my heart, is because we must have a unified vision. Your transmission don't work against your wheels. Your transmission going forward and your wheels go backwards. Somebody says, yeah, there's a reverse in the car. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't pull against one another. Hello? You don't pull away from one another. Now, I'm going to get real, real down, dirty, and nasty today. Okay? If it's the women's department doing a project, we all need to support. You may not get involved. You may not be doing any of the work, but we need to support the women's department. If it's the youth department, you may not get involved, but you need to support the youth department. If Brother Horace is doing a Golden Club project, you may not come to the breakfast, which I forgot to announce this Saturday, but you may not come to the breakfast, but you need to support him. Why? Look at the roof. We're all under one roof. We're a part of one body. I heard Brother Scott say this vaguely as I was walking in. One cannot say, I'm of Paul and I'm of Silas or under the other, how that Paul wrote this out. Paul brought that out in the book of Corinthians. And he says, it's Christ divided. Is the body of Christ divided? No, the body is not divided. Now watch this. I told you, I'm just oiling the machine today. We have got to learn how to work in vision, a united vision, until every person has a vision for the whole. Now, I know some of you would not do this. Every now and then, I watch TV. Every now and then. Some of us have watched Downton Abbey lately. Some of you don't even know what that is. I've watched a few other programs lately. It's a series on PBS, on Prime or something. Sherry and I got to watching The Musketeers. Now, some of you wouldn't watch The Musketeers. It's not your thing. You're not interested. But I got to watching The Musketeers, and one of the things that they did the other day, come here, Brother Chris. Who can move fast? Come here, Paul. Who's this little guy? Is this Carter or Elijah?
That's Carter.
Come here, Carter.
Come here.
Come here, buddy. One of the things, stand right there beside of Paul, right here. Okay, one of the things, and I thought about this. This is so crazy, but I thought about this the other day, and when I saw that on that show, it just clicked in me about this whole thing that I'm working on. Now, some of you already know this. They put their hands in the middle, everybody, and then before they went back out on their next task, they done this: all for one and one for all. And you know, thank you. That's all I want you for. And I thought, you know, if the church would get that vision of all for one and one for all, can I tell you, I believe that we can turn the city upside down. I believe that souls can be saved. But my friend, until we all come into the unity of the faith, according to God's word, until every person has a vision for the fold, if we are divided, we cannot do kingdom work divided. Somebody say amen. If we are divided, you say, well, preacher, are we divided? I didn't say that. I'm changing the oil in the machine so that we will make sure that we walk in. Hello, somebody. I felt the Holy Ghost move me. That we walk in love. That we do everything we can to pull together and walk in unity. This is not an evangelistic message today. This is a pastoral message today. It's the very purpose of my heart why I'm here. It's to shepherd you and to pastor you. And if somebody needs to be rebuked, hey, don't get mad at the preacher if he has to rebuke somebody. Hello, somebody. If you're down in somebody and running your mouth about somebody and you're destroying their character, Don't do it in front of me. I've not heard nobody do that. But don't do it in front of me. I don't want nobody to do that to me. And you don't need to do it to nobody else. I know there's not many amens today. It's okay. Heaven will get the gain out of it. Heaven will be glorified if we'll do it. Again, we look at the scripture. We must be unified in our vision. We mentioned this in Proverbs 29 and 18. Without a vision, the people perish. In other words, it talks about, when I look this up, it means without a vision, the people wander aimlessly. Wow. Now, this message spoke to my heart. Because the people say, well, where are you going, preacher? What is the future of Thomasville look like? Where are we headed? And I believe without a vision, we understand that we die, we divide, we fail, we cease to be, we cannot accomplish kingdom work. Until we learn to speak to each other. Be the first one, take the initiative to speak to someone else. And again, one of the things that I found out is simply this. And again, I wrote myself some notes because of things that I believe that need to be addressed. Is after a service, we have the tendency just to shoot out the door. And we have no idea the name of the person sitting next to us. We have fellowship events. And the question is, are we more concerned about the chicken or the fellowship? I wrote on my notes, I think we're concerned about both. There's nothing wrong with that. I've tried to tell people before who somebody here is that's sat under the same roof. Well, I don't even know who that is. And again, let me reiterate, let me say, I'm not asking you for your social security number. I'm just asking you to be nice to the person next to you and to learn the person next to you. And that side comes to that side, or that side goes to that side. Look around the room and think to yourself, I don't even know the person sitting within 5 foot of me. Why not? That's what I'm trying to prove, is that we need to learn to walk in vision, the vision of the house. I'll get into that a little bit later. And then we see this, and I'll try to be done by 12:30, I promise. And we see this again. That I've mentioned that so many times. And see, again, when we think about the vision, we must come into vision together and learn how to do this if we ever plan to be the church that affects the culture that we're living in today. One of the things I learned a long time ago is either we're going to be the thermostat or the thermometer. The thermostat sets the pace. I guess Chris, every now and then, I don't push him hard because he works a public job sometimes 40 or 50 hours a week. But sometimes I have to push. I'm not pointing you out. Sometimes I have to push. I have to be the thermostat. I have to be the one that sets the thermostat, that sets the bar. And a thermometer only reflects what the bar is. It only reflects the temperature. Sometimes our leaders in the room, we have to be the ones to push. We have to be the ones to push the church to the next level, if you will. Again, thermostat sets the thermometer. And again, as long as we have been a thermostat, if you will, setting the atmosphere in the church is a strange thing, because most of the time, people only want to be comfortable in their environment. Too many times, people don't want to be challenged. And I've seen that myself. When Jesus found these disciples, I believe that he challenged their vision to see something in themselves that they had never seen before. In our text, in verse number, about read that one, in verse chapter number 4 of Matthew, verse 18, he says, and Jesus walking by the sea, again, he saw them, and he said they were casting the net. Next verse is at 19, and he says, and he saith unto them, follow me. Somebody says, well, where are we going? God help the preacher. Because we've got to do more than just do redundancy. We've got to do more than just day in and day out and week in and week out. And we've got to do more for God and more for the kingdom. But the thing I thought about, Jesus called these disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He told them what their intent was, to make them fishers of men. The next verse, the Bible says, and I love this, and he says, and straightway they left their nets. Straightway they did not know where they were going. Brother Chris, they did not know where they were going. They did not know what they were going to be doing. They did not know what their assignment was going to be. They did not know what they were signing up for. But they got on board. And I thought to myself, oh, that's the church. Pastor, lead us. Pastor, show us which way to go. Pastor, if you'll just point us in the direction that you want us to go in, we'll join in with you. We'll follow you, and we'll do what God has called us to do as a church. And I think to myself, and I thought to myself, that it's really time to get honest in the church is because of the next thing I'm going to talk about. Somebody says, well, you're the pastor, just do what you want to do. Really? Really? And I said that to say this, because one of the main reasons that a church most of the time will become stalemate, will become at a status quo to be enough, or to get to the place that they are, they just satisfied where they're at, and a pastor never pushes forward for change, now pay attention, is simply this. And I'm in this boat. Because I don't want to make enemies out of those that I'm called to serve. Because as soon as things begin to change, all it takes is rubbing the wrong person at the wrong time on the wrong day, and you've created havoc for yourself as a pastor. But yet people say, do what you want to do. Really? I have checks and balances all in this building. I'm accountable to you, my council. I'm accountable to my council. Our finance committee is accountable to the council and to myself. We have checks and balances all over this building. And somebody says, well, can you give me this or can you do me that? I don't give out monies. I don't give out funds. I don't do that. Dr. Dean and myself and those that work with us, we do things. And this is one of the things that I needed to say the other day that I didn't get to say, is that somewhere along the journey, people get confused about what the church is and what the church is not. The church is not a bank. And I can't do that. But yet we want to help as many people as we possibly can. And we do. But it don't do anybody any good to come to the preacher and say, I need money. I don't give out money. I don't disburse money. One of the things that I got my nose cut off almost over was when I pastored in Monroe, is because I was told by a person at the time, here's this, and if you need anything, spend it on this, and we'll pay it on a monthly basis. I was told that as a young pastor. I done what I was told to do by a person that I thought was the person of authority at that time. And my friend, when I went and I spent and I done and I did, I got myself called on the carpet, and I was told, she was told, that there was going to be bloodshed on the carpet, and it was going to be the pastor's bloodshed on the carpet. She got told that. So I learned, Brother Dallas, through that, you got to be careful. So anytime somebody says, well, just do what you want to do, preacher. Do what you want to do, pastor. You're the pastor. Oh, you talk about, Brother Don, you talk about bells and whistles going off. I'm thinking, you're the first rascal that would call my hand on it too. Just do what you want to do. No, you can't do that. The church don't operate that. Jesus said if they'll follow him, he would teach them and show them what they are to do. Now, I got to shake this bush one more time. If somebody comes to me and they want to do something to the church and I don't feel good about it, the first thing I'm going to do is tell you no and give me a little bit of time to think about it. How many times have I told you, let me think about it? I'm telling you, I feel God up in here today. Y'all may not feel God like I do, but I do. I've told Chris, I love Chris. Chris has been here since I came here and before I came. But if Chris tells me something, I'm just pointing you out today. If he tells me something and I'm in the gray about it and I'm not sure about it, and I've done it many, many times to him, I said, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me process it. Because if I tell somebody yes, and then they go out and then they booger it all up or do something that they ought not do by my authority as a pastor. I've told them yes. Where's that monkey going to land? Back at me, and I'll be standing before the council explaining myself. But if you give me time to think about it, process it, then I can feel good about a yes. I'm going to tell you yes. But until then, I can change a no to a yes, no damage done. But brother Dallas, if I say yes, I can't go back. Thank you for that word, because I can't do that. It's hard. It's hard to go out and fix something. It's hard to put toothpaste back in the tube. I guess that's a Chris's thing. Chris helped me on that one time. So we think about it. We think about vision, and vision again is, vision says, I want to carry my towel, and Pastor, you can count on me. Again, we think about, again, the very thing. We think about a pastor until, again, it's you in my place. Sometimes one of the things I don't want to do is I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want people to get angry with me. Because as soon as people's feelings are hurt and as soon as people get angry with me, guess what's going to happen? People walk away and people leave and people refuse to participate and people get people refuse to get involved. And the reason being is because simply saying, well, if I can't have it my way, I'm not going to be involved in the matter of the whole. A true disciple will say, I'll get my towel and I'll be the first one in line. I may not agree with you, Pastor. My God, I feel him. I may not agree with you, and we can agree to disagree, but I'm still for you. I'm still going to help you. I'm going to get in line with you. Until I understand, Pastor, what you're doing, until I understand why you're doing it the way you're doing it, I'm going to get behind you and I'm going to support you, just like Aaron and Ur. They lifted up the hands of Moses, and as long as those hands was lifted up, they prevailed. But as soon as Moses' hands went down, I'm telling you what, they were defeated. But as soon as they got back in there and they lifted up the hand of the man of God, I'm telling you what, they prevailed. And God got the glory. And that's what I'm saying today. If we're going to walk together in vision, I may not have the total vision of the whole and everything that God is doing. And God gives me days, and God gives me a few weeks, and God gives me things down the road. But I'm going to tell you, 20 years down the road, I have no clue. 10 years down the road, I have no clue. Even somebody said, well, you need a 5-year plan. You need a 60-month plan. You don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. And you're telling me I need a 5-year plan. I'm not mad. Honestly, I'm not frustrated. I'm not mad. I'm just preaching. Am I telling the truth? So let's do it together. The last thing that I want to talk about in a few minutes is 2 minutes till 12 for those clock watchers. This is the biggie. This is the biggie. Ooh, I got pages and pages, but this is the last one. This is the big one. If we're going to walk with God in discipleship, we need to love. We need to come together in vision. And the third thing, because we live, Brother Robert, you know this, we live in such a distrusting world. Somebody can look at you in the face and be sharpening their knife behind their back at the same time. A lot of times people just look for your weakness. I had a man ask me that one time. What is it? What is it, Pastor, that really upsets you? I was running down the road coming from Kings Mountain back to Monroe. I was running 80 mile an hour on the pouring down rain. It's raining so hard that I couldn't even see. And the more that man agitated me, the faster I got. I looked down and I didn't even realize I was going so fast. This was a man that was brutal. This was a man that was looking for a way to take me out and to take me down. Ask me in my car, Barney, what is it, Pastor, that really agitates you? And I remembered my dad saying to me, son, the main thing is just don't get too excited. My dad told me that over and over and over. My wife has to calm me down sometimes. I'm not a very high-tempered person, but the older I get, dear God, help me. Because I've had to learn how to be more patient and more patient and more patient. I don't know if that comes with age. I'm going to blame it on that this morning. I don't know if that's it or not. But I've had to learn to keep my cool as a preacher, as a pastor. Have I always done that? Probably not. I've done pretty good for the most part. But it goes back to history. It goes back to things in life. Steve knows this. You can love somebody on Sunday, they can jab you in the back on Monday. And it hurts. I have feelings just like you do. I care. I cry just like you do. I hurt just like you do. And here's the last thing I want to talk about. If we're going to go forward, walk with God in discipleship, look around this room. Please hear me out. Hear me out. We've got to walk together and trust. We've got to trust each other. I know here not long ago somebody talked on trust here in this church that I had as a speaker when I had to go be gone somewhere. Trust runs deep. Trust is not shallow. When he called these disciples, I know the Bible says, and it's good to read Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, trust is earned and not given. And I said that to say this, in trust, I hope in 12 years that I've gained a little bit of trust around here. And you say, well, preacher, I don't understand why you're doing certain things. I don't understand why the council made that decision. You voted them in, not me. So if you voted your council in, you've got to trust your council. You've got to trust your pastor, that your pastor is after the heart of God. And we're doing what is the best thing on behalf of the kingdom of God and on behalf of this church. Trust. If you're going to walk with God, the Bible again, as it says in Amos, it says, again, he says, can two walk together except they agree? If the church don't come together in trust, my friend, we'll never accomplish the greater of the whole. So we've got to walk together in love. Listen to me. We've got to walk together in love. You say, some people, I can't even stand to look at their face. You got the problem, not them. You need to work on you. Well, you don't know what they did, Pastor. Well, I don't know what they did. And they're saying this thing is one of the most difficult things in life to deal with is unforgiveness and forgiveness. Give it to God. Just absolutely give it to God. And you said, I seen this one time on Facebook. It said, quit allowing people to live in your head rent free. You're killing yourself worrying about things you can't fix and worrying about things you can't change. Pray about it. Let God do it. If God does it, it'll be done right. I don't know how to end this service, but the mountain word would be innards. My innards, my inside man is trembling today. I'm so rattled over what I've preached to you today. Nobody's done nothing to me. Nobody said anything to me. Nobody's been mean to me. Nobody's been out of the way to me. Nobody's done anything that I would not love them, that I wouldn't walk in vision with them, and that I would not trust them. This is just what I felt, Brother Steve, in my heart, that God said, you preach. I woke up last night and said, I don't want to preach that. God said, you didn't get the choice. I did. I want us to go forward. And if we're going to go forward, we've got to do it together. Well, I don't like how this is scheduled, and I don't like how that's scheduled. If it ain't taking people to hell, just get in and join in. Let's do it together. Well, it ain't the way I like it. It's not going to be. She likes cream in her coffee. I throw up if I drink cream. I don't throw up, but I don't want cream in my coffee. If I'm going to drink coffee, I want black coffee. Just coffee. I don't want a latte. I want coffee. But that don't mean I don't love her because she likes latte. Come on, somebody. We're always going to be different. We can choose to love one another, and we can choose to join together in vision together, and we can choose to trust one another. You say, well, if somebody ever does something wrong to me, I'll never trust them again. Well, good for you, because I won't neither. I'll always keep my eye on them. Judas was among the disciples. Jesus knew that Judas was there, but Judas did not stop the mission. Jesus still finished the mission. Pretty good preaching right there. I'm not going to let one bad apple spoil the whole bunch. Come on, somebody. Somebody's eating on them now. You had a bad apple this morning? Stand with me. If I had time to do this morning, I'd have Martha come up here and I'd have her get in a key that I could fit in, and I'd have her sing, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod." Friend, we are together. If there's ever been something on my heart, I'm not a prophet. Sandra, look at me and tell me, you are not a prophet. I'm not a prophet, but watch this. I had a check in my spirit. If there's a casualty happens next week in this church, and some knucklehead raises their voice and raises their head against me or against this church, don't hear part of a story. You say, "Well, preacher, what you got going on?" I don't have nothing going on. I just know how knuckleheads are. I know how the devil is. And the devil is a liar. If you hear gossip, "Well, I can't wait to go tell somebody what I heard." Your tongue's on fire, and you better silence your tongue. By that, I just simply say, don't tear apart one another. Don't believe everything you hear. If you hear anything on me, I was going to give it to you, but I don't want to give it online. My phone number's enough out there. You hear anything on me, call me. Call me. 336-905-08, and you know the rest of it. Start punching numbers and guess. Call me. I've not bit nobody all day long. I ain't going to bite your head off. I'm going to try to come down and let us reason together. Work together. Father, Lord Jesus, I've delivered my heart today, God. Lord, even all day yesterday, I carried this message in my heart. Friday, Lord, and Thursday, God, throughout this week, to deliver my soul here this morning and what it takes to become your disciple. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us today. I pray, oh God, even now that you would touch this church in an amazing way. And God, let us be found faithful as we go forth and do the work of God. As we go forth and do what you've called us to do. Lord, we love you and honor you and praise you and thank you, Father God. May the Holy Spirit of God touch us today. May this church be perfectly unified in love. May this church be perfectly unified in vision. May this church be perfectly unified in our trust one for another. God, I pray your blessings over every family that's here. Every family that's here is precious. Every person is precious. No matter where they come from, no matter what their background is, God, let us love one another as you have loved us. May we exemplify, may we walk in the spirit of love as we endeavor to do your work and your will. And God, we thank you in advance for that you've already done. Now today, as we close, by sign of hand, I want you to come into agreement with me as an outward expression of your pledge to one another. You just raise your hand, say, "Pastor, I'm going to trust. I'm going to walk and trust God. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to walk in vision with the church, and I'm going to love one another." And I'm praying God's blessings over this congregation. As Hannah sings that song, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May God cause His face to shine upon you. And may God give you peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Choir practice at 4:30. Again.